Eau Claire and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King. Heavy snow across the plains and Midwest has stalled drivers and flyers after high winds and whiteouts from yesterday's storms. Christopher Robertson was driving from Arkansas to Denver when he decided it was time to call it a night.
Snow is just beginning to stick in parts of the highway, so just for safety's sake, we'll stop and stay wherever we end up.
High winds and now heavy rain moving east. Secretary of State Blinken is talking about the border crisis with Mexico's president today. CBS's Adrian Bard is in Mexico City.
On Mexico's end, it's not clear what more the leaders or politicians can offer to help put an end to the unprecedented wave of migrants heading to the U.S. President AMLO's line has been to attack the root causes of migration. Mexico has urged the U.S. to invest more to create jobs in the region.
In San Antonio, two bodies found in a car believed to be those of a pregnant teen and her boyfriend last seen on Friday. Reporter Chris Fox has more.
San Antonio police believe the bodies are of pregnant 18-year-old Savannah Soto and her boyfriend, Matthew Guerra, the father. San Antonio Police Chief William McManus.
What we're looking at right now is a very, very perplexing crime scene. And detectives right now are looking at this as a possible murder.
No word yet on the status of the baby. Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
In Gaza, it's medical chaos as doctors try to figure out how to treat people hurt in Christmas Eve airstrikes. Most hospitals said to be non-functioning or severely impaired. At least 10 people are dead after wild weather in eastern Australia. Reporter Scott Maiman is in Canberra.
One boat was out on the water and sank, killing multiple people. Trees get uprooted. They've come crashing down. Power gets knocked off. Where I am, we're not expected electricity to be restored for at least until after the new year.
It's hard to say farewell to a colleague, even harder when death comes suddenly, as it did to one of our own this week. Here's CBS's Jennifer Kuiper.
Longtime CBS News radio correspondent Tom Foti has died. He began with us in 1998, but his exposure to news came firsthand as a child when his family's home in Budapest was leveled in the middle of the 1956 Hungarian Revolution. Tom began his career in New York and through on-air and management positions eventually ended up in Washington, D.C. He loved technology, had a fantastic sense of humor, and was simply a kind person. His voice has been silenced, but Tom Foti is hard to forget, and so is his sign-off.
Tom Foti, CBS News, Washington.
Tom was 77.
S&P futures are down 1. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform, you need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews, all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Christmas Day high temperatures broke records all over Wisconsin. Monday's high was 54 in Green Bay. Other new records include 54 in Appleton and 52 in Stevens Point. Records were also reached in Wausau, Marshfield, and Superior, just to name a few. Republicans plan to propose eliminating taxes on retirement income in Wisconsin this spring. Democrats say they'll work to make sure any tax cut is targeted to middle class.
We are going to make sure that anything that comes forward is focused on those families and those individuals who really need a little extra breathing room.
Assembly Democratic Minority Leader Greta Neubauer speaking with WKOW's Capital City Sunday. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Bucks play the Nets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks take on the Brooklyn Nets tonight in New York. The Bucks coming off a 129-122 loss to the Knicks Christmas Day. How do you rebound? Head coach Adrian Griffin.
Again, prepare them. Be the most prepared team that we can be. No, it's not going to be easy. But if you do the things that go on to win, you got a good chance.
College football. The Wisconsin Badgers in the ReliaQuest Bowl next Monday morning against LSU. Kickoff 11 a.m. Luke Fickell has hired one of his former players, Kenny Guyton, who played quarterback for him at Ohio State, to serve as receivers coach.
Learned a lot. You know, played quarterback. And so playing quarterback on that level, you learn so much. And so I got a chance. chance to play for some legendary coaches. With Jim Tressel for 2 years, I had Luke Fickell, who's doing an awesome job now. I had Urban Meyer for the last two. So when you have those names around you, those greatness around you, and every day a learning experience.
That's the Badgers' new receivers coach, Kenny Guyton. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to 37 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be from the north and only about 5 to 10 here through the day. Tonight, partly to mostly cloudy. We may catch a couple of flurries or sprinkles overnight. Our low down to 28. Could be a few scattered slippery spots with that. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high near 41. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed. From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Greg Bach here, producer of Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. As you know, Pat is on vacation for the rest of the year, and he'll be returning on January the 2nd, but we want you to enjoy a replay, some previously aired content, and some fresh pre-recorded content for you. Right now, you're going to be listening to the second hour of November the 30th, where Pat welcomes Zoe Sullivan to the show. We hope you enjoy. We hope you have a great holiday. Stay safe, stay warm, and remember, when you're here, you're up north.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
On what has turned into a very foggy Thursday morning here around Lake Wissota, maybe where you are too, because the skies are clear and maybe there's just been enough evaporation around to make things foggy in your neck of the woods. If so, headlights on, drive real slow, we'll get this thing lifted, especially given, again, how clear the sky looks. Hopefully we'll have some sun burning this off before too much longer. Nice to have you along on this Thursday, last day of November, truly heading into the holiday season, you know, when we flip that page on the calendar tomorrow. Coming up this hour, the title for this hour's episode is The Cloud Needs a Lot of Water. What we think of as the cloud on the internet is actually made up of a massive number of computer servers located in data centers. And having that many servers in any one place requires a huge cooling system, most efficiently done with water, but at what cost? And so we're going to talk a bit with journalist Zoe Sullivan about a program that she worked on that touched on what's happening in the Racine area and in the Foxconn area as Microsoft moves in with data centers. It's not about passing judgment on data centers. They're clearly needed. It's more about, you know, local transparency about, you know, what will the water use be, and all of us having an appreciation that these things like, you know, internet don't just happen, that there are natural resources involved in this as well. And so we'll talk to Zoe Sullivan later on in this hour. And again, as always, you can reach us here at 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. It works if you call the number. It works if you text the number. It works on the Civic Media app where you can text or call us. Listen to any of the other radio stations across the Civic Media radio network. And if you want to learn more, head to civicmedia.us. Otherwise, if you want to learn more about Up North News, which is a separate entity from Civic Media, but pleased as punch to be here for 2 hours every weekday morning, see the work that we do over at upnorthnewswi.com. Greg Bach is in Waukesha right now. As I was looking at the daily newsletter that Christina Laurie puts together for Up North News, I am, again, having to be mindful, Greg, that this is the breakfast hour, but there is an interesting story about somebody who decided that instead of posting a road trip guide based on Wisconsin food and drinks and desserts, he said, you know what? I need to know who has the nicest bathrooms. And that's how we ended up, with the Instagram account, Places I'd Poop Madison. But it's all about Wisconsin. Posting pictures, reviewing restrooms based on cleanliness and size and convenience and amenities and gender-neutral signage. And he says it's already become a group effort as other people share, you know, gas station bathrooms, restaurant bathrooms. And look, he's not wrong. It's not that I go seeking out places with that, but I know the ones that don't have good ones. Oh, yeah. I don't stop at those places anymore if I can avoid them, you know. There's times when you can't, where I'm driving across the state, you're coming into a town, and you're like, oh, that's the only place in town. I guess I got to stop there.
Yeah.
So read more about that over at our daily newsletter. Sign up for that at upnorthnewswi.com. Click newsletter in the top banner. Let's talk about the Affordable Care Act for just a moment, because as has been mentioned a couple of times since Sunday, former President Donald Trump posted on his tiny social media account that he would like to have it terminated. And he says what he meant was to emphasize that he would replace the Affordable Care Act with something else. But that's what has been said since 2010 by Republicans. It's what's been said by Donald Trump since 2015. There's still no replacement. There's still no one plan where people are saying, yeah, let's put that in place instead. That's what's missing from this whole debate, is an actual alternative. Here's the thing that's not an alternative: going back. We talked to Joe Zepecki in our last hour a bit about, you know, one person who wrote in saying that they wanted to go back because costs are so much higher now. But this person, I believe, is emblematic of the situation prior to the Affordable Care Act, where you could, in fact, get cheap insurance coverage, and you did not find out how cheap it was until you actually tried to use it. And so along comes Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, and, you know, it is technical, it is complicated, it's a whole suite of programs, and anytime you do something like that, there is opportunity for things to go wrong, or at least for things to be opposed. That certainly has happened with the Affordable Care Act. Remember when their website first launched? It didn't go well. Same can be said from a lot of things that worked out well in the end, but did not have a great launch. And an increasing number of Republicans have learned that it was the efforts to kill the Affordable Care Act that actually made it popular. So for Trump to say he's going to try again is probably not what a lot of Republican political consultants would have recommended. But he said it. Democrats pounced on it, as has the Biden campaign, which just today started running another new ad in at least the Milwaukee market and other battleground states. Let's give a listen to the new ad about the Affordable Care Act and protecting health care.
My name's Jody. I've been a pediatric nurse for 18 years. I love what I do, but we definitely need more support. The last administration's policies were so troubling, and our healthcare system has become a business, and people are becoming billionaires off the backs of sick people. I've seen the heartbreak when parents are trying to figure out how they're going to pay for a medicine to keep their kid healthy. But we are seeing lots of positive changes. And thanks to President Biden and Vice President Harris, families can afford medication now. The Biden administration lowered the cost of prescription drugs and passed laws to make healthcare more affordable. The idea that we could go back to the policies that help the rich get richer and left so many people behind. I don't want to go back. I can't go back.
I'm Joe Biden, and I approve this message.
Expect to hear a lot of that. Here's what you didn't hear in that ad. I'm Joe Biden. Gosh, I'm really sorry about the death panels. I don't know who couldn't have seen this coming, but they are, and we promise we're going to fix the death panels, because it didn't happen. Along with all of the other worst fear-mongering that was done when you had politicians, public servants, finally take seriously the problem of health insurance coverage in this country. And again, we're a long way away from where we should be. There's a lot of disagreement on where we should be. Should it be some kind of version that's called Medicare for All? Is it simply adding a public option to programs that are already out there? Simply expanding Medicaid? Whatever your definition of socialized medicine is, there's probably some people that would like to see that. And of course, there are others that do want to go back, who consistently tell us that, you know, the free market, the private marketplace will take care of this. No, it didn't. We've been talking about this since the 1940s. The current health insurance system was set up as a result of what workers, employers, and employees needed at the end of World War II. And it's had problems ever since. And the problems only got worse until the Affordable Care Act started to tackle that. So the debate ought to be, how do we continue to modify and improve upon the current system? Those who simply say, as Donald Trump did, we need to terminate it, aren't going to get a lot of traction amongst American families and businesses.
Hello again, Greg Bach, producer, Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. And right about now is the time when Pat and weatherology's very own Jennifer Wojcicki would be giving you the update on the weather for the day. But those are old days. Those days are gone. You don't want old weather. So let's talk about something super cool, which is the Civic Media app. It's free. It's easy to download. Go to anywhere you like to download apps. Get it on your computer. Get it on your smartphone. Get it on your tablet. It fits anywhere on any device. And like I said, it's free, so you can listen to us wherever you are in the world. Want to listen to us live? You can. You want to listen to a show as a podcast? You can do that too. Go to your favorite podcast distribution center of choice, find our shows, download the episode, and listen to us on demand. Once again, easy, free, simple. You're amazing. And now back to the show.
The Milwaukee Bucks are in Chicago tonight. They will be taking on the Bulls. Then they play against Atlanta on Saturday before resuming the NBA in-season tournament with a game against the New York Knicks at home. You can catch those Bucks games on News from the Center in Richland Center, from Oshkosh Air Support, Lake Air in Amory, WRJN in Racine, and 98Q Country in Park Falls. The Badger men's basketball team and the Marquette men's basketball team go up against one another Saturday at 11:30, and you can hear that game on locally grown radio out of Wisconsin Rapids, News from the Center in Richland Center, and Lake Air in Amory again Saturday at 11:30. The Marquette women's basketball team is now 7-0 to start the season after beating Memphis last night, 88-59. The Badger women's team defeated Northern Illinois 75-54. I think they're 5-2 now on the season. They'll host Butler at the Kohl Center on Sunday afternoon. Back with more news in just a little over 60 seconds, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin, on this clear but in some places foggy Thursday morning. When you're here, you're up north. Back in just a bit.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. The IRS just rolled out a new program to help struggling taxpayers more easily resolve their tax problems. It's called the Taxpayer Relief Initiative, and it opens up powerful new options for people looking to get back on the right track with the IRS. And no one knows this program like the professionals at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution company. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients and have the expertise expertise and experience to help you. One easy call to Optima can start the process, helping to put an end to your worries of wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other aggressive IRS actions. Make today the beginning of your fresh start with the IRS. Call the experts at Optima Tax Relief now for your free confidential consultation.
Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
We're playing tunes off of Thriller, the album that was released this day in 1982. The Badger women's volleyball team is hosting a first-round NCAA tournament game. Yep, the NCAA tournament starts tonight. Badgers up against Jackson State starting at 7:30. Let's see, the Badger men's hockey team is back in action this weekend, hosting Ohio State. The Badger women's hockey team will be hosting UMD, Minnesota Duluth, this weekend. Packers are in that 10-day window since the Thanksgiving Day game, getting healed up. Their next game is Sunday night against Patrick Mahomes and the Super Bowl defending champion Kansas City Chiefs. You can catch that Packers game on radio from the center, Richland Center, WRCO-FM, WRJN AM and FM in Racine, and 98Q Country, WCQM, in Park Falls. We were talking in our last hour a bit about education, and what would you do if you could go back to school for something, either for just a class or for a course, and would it be for a particular skill, you know, cooking or machinery or some other kind of trade? Would it be more in the humanities, you know, history, literature, art, whatever the case may be? Education is something that should be a lifelong endeavor, and I made the case in the last hour about the value of a liberal arts education. It is not necessarily an instant jobs pipeline. It isn't meant to be. The role of a liberal arts education was essentially more about life skills, critical thinking skills, leadership skills, again, history, the arts, writing, things that will help you throughout your entire life. And so it really stuck in my craw when a story in the Daily Cardinal yesterday brought up an email that had recently been unearthed from Jay Rothman, president of the UW system, that made a comment in the email, along with several other suggestions for a UW system that is facing some real financial difficulties, that one of the pieces of advice in the email was to consider, and I'll emphasize the word, consider shifting away from liberal arts programs to programs that are more career specific. And this is the part that really stuck with me, particularly if the institution serves a large number of low-income students. And I'm still stuck on that one. To wonder from Jay Rothman, what did you mean by that? And of course, the answer is about revenue. More of his points talk about revenue as well, including a point about making sure you're following up on essentially, you know, student debt, if you will. Here's the phrase, disciplined collection of outstanding student receivables is important. I mean, again, it's about the money. And I get that times are tough. And he does say, you know, if painful cuts have to be made, he says in so many words, just rip the Band-Aid off. Don't delay. Make those cuts. You know, identify the cuts and make them. But this whole notion of, you know, shifting from liberal arts to more, how did he say again, career specific. There is a place, of course, for everybody in education somewhere, and that includes the trades. And my criticism of anybody criticizing the liberal arts should not be construed as criticism of the trades, but to say, hey, there's room for all, and not everything pays off immediately. There are plenty of people with liberal arts degrees
who end up in roles they did not foresee. I don't know, the guy you're talking to or listening to, for example, who's gone from, you know, radio news director to billboard traffic director to, you know, administrative assistant building a computer database for an electrical contracting company to back to radio to TV to a seat in the legislature, living on an island, and now this. We all take all these paths, some more windy than others, and others, quite frankly, are a little jealous. I know people who have taken the training for that one career path, and while it is what they had always wanted to do, and while it is rewarding, I have also heard them say that one of the downsides is that they are like a horse with blinders, that there's only one path forward. And that's the path you're on. And it's rather scary, especially with each passing year as you get older. It's a little scary to consider some kind of a new path, as opposed to, you know, some of us who are more career free agents, if you will. In any case, we have become, you know, a value to the community through, again, a host of skills. And because this particular low-income student got that liberal arts education, I've been able to do things that have allowed me to make more than my parents ever dreamed of, and therefore become a taxpayer that has more than paid back the financial aid that was given to me to get a liberal arts education. So this whole notion of trashing the UW system, as Republicans in the legislature have done, is so, to me, a case of eating your seed corn and looking for the instant gratification of whatever the hot job is right now. And if that is how Jay Rothman feels, by and large, about the UW system, then he's not the right person for the job. Now, he has since put out a statement saying that the Daily Cardinal mischaracterized his email and his position. He didn't say nearly enough and needs, in fact, to say much more to clarify what he meant in this email reported by the Daily Cardinal. You can see it at dailycardinal.com. Mark from the SAC joins us on the phone, 844-967-2789. Mark, good morning.
Good morning. Well, too little too late for Mr. Rothman, as far as I'm concerned. And looking at the liberal education, and something, just a thought just occurred to me, maybe it's off base, but I mean, de Tocqueville mentioned it early in the 19th century, as he was traveling through the country, that he was talking to tradespeople, farmers, you know, a whole swath of people, and he was amazed at the amount of knowledge that these people had, that they kept up on things. And it wasn't from a, it was from a, they're actually engaged in, you know, they weren't going to, perhaps not going to school, but they're actually engaged in civic discourse, actually reading history and reading probably literature, and that, and maybe I'm broad brushing at it, but I mean, that the attack on liberal education is something Republicans have been doing since Ronald Reagan decided he wanted to take out the students because they're getting too educated and protesting against government. Well, the fact of the matter is the United States was born upon protest, upon people that were widely read and widely broadly educated, and thinking in liberal ways about how a democracy should run, how a country should run. And I'm probably way off base, but it just seems that this attack on education is just it's just appalling. It is just appalling. It's been going on since the 1980s when the cutback on funding became more and more, you know, expensive to become educated, because the government is not funding the education the way it used to. I mean, don't give me this stuff. Money is not available. Money is available. We had a $7 billion surplus that we certainly could have been spending money on, brought in and paying for the universities as well as the public schools.
Couldn't agree more, Mark. Thank you so much. Have a great day. Appreciate the input. I would just tie this up real quick by saying that education needs good leaders at all levels, from the big university offices to your local school board. Education needs good leaders who appreciate a well-rounded education. We'll talk about data center water use with our guest coming up after this. You're up north.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. A big snowstorm in the plains and Midwest makes driving tough, even harder. Truckers like Joe Hellbach as he makes his way through Colorado.
Driving a big truck, we got to watch out for people in cars, slick conditions. Wind is a big factor with us.
U.S. and Mexican officials look for solutions to the border crisis. CBS's Adrian Bard is in Mexico City.
On the eve of Secretary Blinken's arrival, the largest caravan of migrants so far this year was headed here to the Mexican capital. The so-called Exodus from poverty includes mostly Venezuelans, Hondurans, and Cubans.
The bodies of two missing teens are found in San Antonio. This is Police Chief William McManus.
What we're looking at right now is a very, very perplexing crime scene. Detectives right now are looking at this as a possible murder, but we don't know for sure.
Farewell to our colleague, CBS News radio anchor Tom Foti, who has died at age 77. CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Gasoline prices in Wisconsin are going down when the rest of the country is going up. Gas Buddy says the average price for regular in Wisconsin is $2.72. That's almost 3 cents lower than last week. The national average price of gasoline has risen almost 3 cents to $3.07 a gallon. Political observers say black voters in Milwaukee will be key to winning Wisconsin in the race for president next year. Mayor Cavalier Johnson tells WISN-TV's Up Front that's why President Biden was at the Wisconsin Black Chamber of Commerce in Milwaukee last week.
There's a reason why, of all places he could have gone, he chose the Wisconsin Black Chamber of Commerce. He's doing outreach to the African-American community.
The president has work to do to get his message across. The latest Marquette poll has Biden's job approval rating in Wisconsin at 42%. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On 93.5, The Tap.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Partly cloudy today. We'll get to 37 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be from the north at only about 5 to 10 here through the day. Tonight, partly to mostly cloudy. We may catch a couple of flurries or sprinkles overnight. Our low down to 28. Could be a few scattered slippery spots with that. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high near 41. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than BugTussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, BugTussle has you covered. BugTussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit BugTussle.com to get started. BugTussle, we're out there because you're out there.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap. The more than 27,000 union carpenters who call the North Central States home wish you a healthy, happy, and safe holiday season. Unions built the middle class, and union carpenters work hard every day to build our communities while they build good careers that provide for their families. This season, we hope you get to enjoy time with friends and family. Happy Holidays from Executive Secretary Treasurer Pat Nelson and the staff of the North Central States Regional Council of Carpenters.
People across Wisconsin are enjoying the rewards, stability, and flexibility of a career in healthcare. Why not you? Wish Caregiver Careers can get you started as a certified direct care professional. You'll learn the skills you need to make life better for older adults or people with a disability. All training is free and online. Plus, earn $500 in bonuses. Start your new career. Sign up today at WiscCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Tell a friend what's on tap.
There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
talk with journalist Zoe Sullivan in just a moment here and get into the whole notion of data centers and water use. Normally at 7:30, you would hear one Kristen Lierley, and we'd be talking about healthcare or other things that are going on. Kristen is has another commitment for today. Never fear, she will be back with us next week. And in fact, I see even has already left a message on our Facebook page saying, good morning, friends. Thank you for having this important discussion. Well, thank you, Kristen, and look forward to talking to you again early next week. We're talking about data centers in part because of what's happening at the old Foxconn site. It's been 6 years after a much hyped development project that never did look like it was going to come to full fruition, and of course it did not. It has had some limited success, which is fine, but there's still a lot of land that could be put to use, and it's going to be put to use in large part by Microsoft. In fact, village officials in Mount Pleasant approved a new deal on Monday, according to coverage from Wisconsin Public Radio, that would allow Microsoft to purchase more than 1,000 acres that originally had been intended for Foxconn. The project will include at least 4 data centers. Now, these data centers, I mean, we're familiar with them, of course. We're familiar with the cloud, but we sometimes don't appreciate not just how big and important these facilities are, but what it takes to run them. And it was actually Kristen who tipped me off to an episode of a podcast, the title of which was, Will the Internet Suck Us Dry? Data centers tend to land in places with abundant water and power and taxpayer subsidies. Zoe Sullivan was one of the journalists who worked on it and looked at not just the water usage, not just what a data center is, but also how can we be sure that we're getting full transparency at the local government level, so that, you know, people can make the decision for themselves of whether a data center is right for where they are, especially not just at, you know, we're next to an abundant, you know, Lake Michigan. There's a lot of data centers in the desert Southwest that have people rather concerned. So let's bring in Zoe now to talk much more about the topic. Zoe Sullivan joining us from the Madison area. Zoe, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thanks so much for having me, Pat.
Well, thank you so much for being here. It was a fascinating episode to listen to. And, you know, again, at the risk of having you repeat far too much of it. But let's start with the basics of, you know, what you learned about we know that data centers are important, but we really don't appreciate what it takes to cool one of these babies.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, to be honest, before I started this piece, I had never thought about what it takes to power the internet. And I think part of that is because we refer to so much, you know, like storing things in the cloud. And, you know, that the idea of the cloud gives it this very ethereal sense. And in reality, the cloud is a data center. And these are facilities, I mean, they range in size, but, you know, a data center can use as much energy as 50,000 homes, which is kind of shocking, I think. So, I mean, for me, when I was starting to report on this, just the scale of the resource use that these facilities have was pretty stunning for me.
And that is because of something called evaporative cooling, that rather than running, you know, air conditioning units, you would bring in water, and then you'd work with the difference in air after you've blown blown that hot air from the data center, you know, and blown that under onto the water as it flows through. There's various types of systems that are out there, but again, it's that necessity for water and for power that makes these things so important. And so I wonder, again, this is just based on your own experience. You're not speaking at large for the whole country, but do you feel like when companies bring these data center proposals to local governments, are there things that taxpayers should be aware of when weighing these kinds of proposals?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, part of my experience trying to report on the Microsoft facility in Mount Pleasant was really the lack of transparency and there was a Marketplace Tech podcast earlier this year where a researcher described how companies like Microsoft and Google have said that basically their water use is essentially a trade secret, which makes it extremely difficult for local people to find out how much is actually being used. And there are really two, you know, data centers use water and power, both. Most data centers now, more than 40% of the electricity use actually goes to cooling. And they can either be cooled through water or through air conditioning, basically. So that's where that, you know, that's where those resources come in. But I think, you know, as you were asking, yeah, a huge challenge is, can people just get information? You know, I do reporting for a living, and so I spend time digging into things. Most people don't have that time. You know, they're busy making a living, they're busy taking care of their kids, whatever. And if your elected officials won't disclose what, you know, what the plan is or what the consequences of the plans are, that makes it impossible for people to really understand what the implications of a development are.
I mean, we really are reliant upon and should be more grateful for, you know, local journalists and independent investigative journalists who, you know, like you said, have the time, who know where to start looking for these kinds of resources, especially when you consider, as noted in the Washington Post, that more than 30% of the world's data centers are located in the U.S., and the power required to run all those data centers already accounts for about 2% of the nation's electricity use. 2% of the nation's electricity use. We talk all the time on this program about a changing climate and about the ways that we can essentially run an entire country cleaner, but it is this thirst for knowledge and information that can lead to quite literally a thirst for resources in the area. This is something that is going to have to be paid attention to by local governments, by other planners, places like that. And I can't imagine this will be the last time that you have to ask some tough questions and really have to struggle to find answers on what water use is going to be for these data centers.
Yeah, water and power. I mean, one of the things that was really stunning to me is learning that data centers globally emit more carbon than the airline industry. Just for people to put it in perspective, because I think in general, people understand that flying has a lot of impact on the environment. Well, guess what? You know, Netflix does too now, apparently, right? Which, I mean, I like my Netflix as much as anybody else. It's not that I want to give that up, but I think we do need to ask ourselves questions about what, you know, what is really important to us? What do we need? What do we want to prioritize? We're seeing, you know, AI being introduced in a lot of ways. Like a lot of people have played with ChatGPT, for example. And, you know, AI is incredibly resource intensive. So, you know, just a ChatGPT conversation, you don't think about how much energy that is consuming, you know, how much energy it takes the computer systems to process that, to produce that chat, and how much water it then takes to cool down those systems. Well, these are things we really need to start thinking about.
On top of that, and this is over and above the water use topic, but as we continue to rely on, an information economy and, you know, data centers like these, I mean, they're all targets, essentially. I mean, it wouldn't take much to, cut the power, the water, or otherwise do damage to one of these and, you know, really consider crippling a chunk of the economy, which, again, just makes it that much more imperative to know, you know, from the outset, the parameters of any given data center, what it's going to be, what are its redundancies and things like that. I certainly don't see us going backward in terms of our need for information, you know, server space.
Right. And I mean, one thing to also really keep in mind when, you know, thinking about, well, what happens if the power goes out? Well, data centers have backups, you know, they have to in order to keep functioning. Like, that is essential to their business model. And those backups are basically diesel generators. So you really have to also think about, if the grid were to go out, then these centers are now functioning with diesel, which obviously, you know, has a much bigger carbon impact than your regular power grid, even if that power grid isn't necessarily fully green. So, you know, there are lots of levels of considerations. And I really want to thank, I spoke during this, doing this piece, I had the privilege of speaking with a data center manager in Missouri, and he was incredibly generous with his knowledge. And I wouldn't have, I mean, I read a lot of research papers, et cetera, but speaking with somebody in the industry was tremendously helpful. And I'm really grateful for that.
In terms of when these proposals come in, we often hear, and you used the phrase earlier, you know, trade secrets, that, you know, there's things we can't share with you. It would appear to me, you know, in your role as a journalist, that there may be things that, you know, a potential company coming into town doesn't share publicly, but certainly can't use that as an excuse not to share with town leaders. I mean, do you feel like they're being on the up and up with local leadership as they come into these kinds of situations?
I have no, I mean, I'm not part of those conversations. I can't sure. comment on that, you know? Mm-hmm. I can't say anything about that. I will say, I did find a DNR permit, and it was clear that, you know, water could be used to cool the Mount Pleasant facilities. I think something to consider is, you know, I think many people are aware that the Salt Lake, the Great Salt Lake, is basically drying up, and people are probably less aware that there used to be a massive sea in Central Asia, the Aral Sea, which was bigger than Lake Michigan. And now, because of Soviet mismanagement of, you know, diverting water for agriculture industry, it's a desert. And, you know, we think of Lake Michigan and Lake Superior as enormous, and they are, but we also need to carefully consider how we use that resource.
Yeah, and that's just it. It's all about, you know, whatever information you can have. And I should note as well, you shared a statement that can be, you know, attributed to a Microsoft spokesperson talking about the Mount Pleasant data center, saying that our data center campus investment plans with the Village of Mount Pleasant and Racine County are part of Microsoft's long-term commitment to the local communities in Wisconsin. We look forward to our work there. And that's where I want to emphasize again, this segment is not about casting stones or aspersions, but again, making it known how important it is for local officials to make informed decisions on things like these and learn about, you know, things like water use that may not have occurred to them previously.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Microsoft's president, fun fact, graduated from an Appleton high school. So I suspect that he feels an attachment to the state, like, you know, those of us who live here do, and is, you know, probably trying to bring home some of the business that he is in, which is, you know, I mean, I'm making assumptions, but right, like, that's lovely. But yes, exactly. I think we do need to have more information and to be able to consider things carefully.
The Things That Go Boom podcast episode is called Will the Internet Suck Us Dry? Zoe Sullivan was a part of the episode that I would highly recommend folks go look up. So thank you so much for the introduction to the topic and for getting to meet you. I appreciate it very much.
It's my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. Have a wonderful day. Thanks so much for being here. When we come back, we'll talk to Luke Mathers about what else is happening across the Civic Media Radio Network. You can learn more about it by heading over to civicmedia.us. And learning more about Up North News by going to upnorthnewswi.com. Back in just a bit. You're up north.
I'm dreaming of a street. If they say why,
93.5 The Tap.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I wasn't sure how we were going to mark Michael Jackson's Thriller album for the Luke Mathers segment until I realized we have our own pretty young thing. So here's PYT.
Oh, wow.
Luke Mathers.
Man, wow. that's the nicest you've ever been introducing me onto the air.
Civic media eye candy. Luke Mathers joins us.
Sucking
now.
Up is usually my. Yeah. My realm, but okay, go for
I'm
it.
I'm officially Pat uncomfortable.
Good
well,
morning,
you see,
Pat.
We don't have Dr. Lyerly here to help me with that. She's normally the one throwing out, you know, some kind of a flirty comment, and so I'm just happy to take on.
Pat, we have a call this on the phone right now. That's Civic Media HR is on the phone for you.
That's just what the caller ID popped up as, yep. Greg. That's just, yep. You screened that mightily fast.
Well, you know, hey, I'm a professional at my job.
There we go.
He's really good. If you ever consider handing out raises, Luke, put Greg first in line. If for no other reason than the constant sucking up that he does.
I'm really good. You guys are the best I've ever worked with.
There you go.
How are you, Luke? What brings you to Waukesha on this fine morning?
I'm doing well, you know, just trying to get out working with the Waukesha team this morning. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to be appearing on Up North News Radio with you, Mr. Kreitlow, and I could be in studio with Greg here in the Shaw Studios. So WAUK, that's where I'm broadcasting from this morning, and we're having some fun.
Do you know what we need, though, for your next project?
What's that?
And talk about airing
internal dirty laundry. Yeah, I'm taking notes down, please. Let me know what I need to add to my to-do list.
Because you're so bored down there. You have nothing to do, right?
Yep,
here,
exactly.
Let me add one more. Well, tomorrow I'll be down in Madison for a function, and normally I would come down, you know, late Thursday, and I would do the Friday morning show from Madison. But now, of course, we've got a great new local show there, like we do in some of the other Civic Media markets. And I don't know that we don't really have a studio set up yet where you could do a second show from the Madison headquarters. And so I would suggest the office that you and Todd and Terry Bell share seems rather large. I don't suppose you could get the carpenters in there and create a secondary studio just for when I come to town.
For 22 hours from now, let me see what I can do.
Luke,
Let
me take this one, Luke. Pat. I triple dog dare you to put that request into engineering. And then just wait for your car to be on fire tomorrow morning.
No.
A secondary studio in the Madison headquarters was always something that we were trying to do. But then I don't know if you all recall, but we had to kind of jump to the State Street headquarters faster than we anticipated. And therefore, there was no time to build that out. I believe it's on the to-do list, like the wish list. But you're not the first person to put it on there, Pat. But it I don't know necessarily how high up on the priority list it currently is with the rest of the ongoing expansion we're doing here.
We gotta take care of some of those primary studios before we take care of secondary studios.
I was gonna say poor James Kelly's working down there in that downtown Chippewa Falls studio that isn't still a studio yet. It looks nice, but you know, we still have to wire that baby in. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we got a few things to do. But
I don't know. Well, engineers side baseball talk with Luke, Greg, and Pat.
The engineers want to make sure that they could celebrate Thanksgiving and, you know, Christmas with their family and loved ones. We can't just send them everywhere.
I've said before, and I'm going to say again, I enjoy talking about these internal things here because I am thrilled at the way this place is growing. This place, much like Up North News, when we grew that again from nothing, it is. I find the growing pains to be exciting.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's a nice problem to have. And so, you know, the fact that I get to pick on you in the process is, you know,
if only I could go back to school and learn all of the engineering myself, I would be able to be up there in Chippewa Falls with you.
No, you'd just be annoying the actual engineers who are trying to get the work done with your second
grade. I'm just saying, in the hypothetical show question today of going back to school, I could
do it. You're wiring that into 220, 221? What is that over there?
We do 220, 230, whatever it takes.
No,
whatever it takes.
In all honesty, if I got to go back to school, it would be for one thing and
no
one
asked
only.
You Luke,
well I was listening and therefore
I asked the
mic is mine now
morning.
Now I'm here, so
yes,
I was
claiming my time
in.
Luke says
exactly it would be for being a brewmaster. I just want to learn how to brew beer, and
of course you would.
Yep I just want to go off and brew beers and I'd be alone and brewing the beers, and it would be great.
You're too chatty. You would want to talk to everyone about it.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, one of my best friends down in Madison, that's what he does. He brews all kinds of beer in his basement, loves it, loves talking about it. He refers to himself as my beer Sherpa, because I'm not really much of a beer drinker, but he always knows when we go to any bar that's got a long list, and he only goes to bars with long lists of beer, they'll pick out something new for me each time, and I'll be like, how did you know I was going to like that? And, you know, he just knows.
There you go. I tend to be that translator for a lot of friends, too, and family members. They're like, I don't know what to pick off of this. My regular is not there. I'm a big fan of the craft beer scene. And
Here, Lakefront Brewery.
I know.
I got like three basic questions I ask people when they ask about beer so I can just get them what they need. So, because most of my friends don't. They're not like sitting there trying to take in the flavors and find the hints and the aromas and the stuff like that. They're just like, what do I like? I'm like, what do you drink at home? What do you drink out? And what do you hate?
Yeah. Ooh, those are good three questions. See, I like to just dive in when I'm trying a new beer. Kelsey's the sampler. So she'll get like six different samples of beers before she actually decides on one, where I'm just like, okay, that's what's in that one. I'll take a pint. And then if I don't like it, I'll finish it, and then I'll try something else.
And then she's absolutely smashed.
She's just had like the sip out of the tasting sample glasses, and that's all she's had. And then she'll find one that she likes, and that's how she orders. But I would love to go back to school for brewing. That would be cool.
Yeah.
My problem is that when you find something that you like, you tend to want to stick with it, and you end up just comparing everything to that. Mm-hmm. For me, that's not so much beer as it is bourbon. I like bourbon. I'll try different kinds, but I always come back and go, well, but it's not Knob Creek, you know, and then I'll end up coming in. Then after a while, I'll be like, I should really try some new things. And then I do, and I go, but it's not Knob Creek.
It's very cyclical in that regard.
This part of the show brought to you by Knob Creek Bourbon. Please send us free Knob Creek.
In case anybody's looking for Christmas gift ideas, you just consider yourself warned.
See, and we were going to take over this whole segment just talking about Greg's new puppy, but I guess we just started talking about beer. And
we know that Maybelle is still adjusting.
My life doesn't matter. Whatever.
We know that Maybelle is still going through a period of adjustment.
Can I give you a quick update? We got to get going soon, but quick update. Last night, I decided to take a new route in trying to connect with her. I actually laid on the floor next to her. I didn't sit next to her. I laid on the floor and just put my arm out, and she explored. She gave me a kiss on the nose.
Aw.
She got scared a little bit. She's still in her nervous phase, but she opened up a little bit more.
That is exactly what I would have done, is get down. Yeah, get down lower. And so you did that. Get down, Greg. You did it. Way to get down. And on that funky note, I'll let you go. So, Luke, I'll be looking for you tomorrow sometime when I'm down there.
We'll see
Not
you when
in
you're
the secondary
town.
Studio, but I'll find you. Greg, I'll be looking for a meetup with you as well somehow. We'll find an excuse.
We'll make it work.
Okay. Everybody have a great day.
Have a terrific Thursday, Pat.
Yeah, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Here's a new way to ring in the new year. How about some peace and quiet? December 31st is officially No Interruptions Day, a holiday first introduced in 2014. It's considered an important way to take a break from your everyday distractions by focusing on yourself, your family, and friends. Those who celebrate No Interruptions Day say it's a great reason to turn off your phone, TV, and social media to instead slow down. I'm Terry Barr. From all of us with the Civic Media Radio Network, happy holidays.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World.